Chapter 44, The Prodigal Son. It was the night before his baptism, and Peter had just finished doing the Bible readings with the Simons. Instead of returning to his room to work, Peter walked out through the lounge doors and sat down on the grass in the backyard. The evening air was warm and filled with a delightful spring fragrance. A bright full moon was rising above the horizon. Peter thought about what he had read with the Simons that night, and the discussion they had enjoyed afterwards. It had strengthened his resolve to live his life for God. Titus chapter 2 had said, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." Such words were a direct appeal for change. In baptism, Peter was finally going to avail himself of this redemption from sin. He was going to rise a new man and cast off the old. No longer would he give himself over to the worldly lusts and ungodliness that had once enslaved him, but he desired to be purified by his Saviour, Jesus Christ. He wanted to have his heart completely changed in order that he might truly desire to do what was right. In the peaceful quiet of the evening, Peter bowed his head and prayed to God. Prayer had become such a vibrant, important part of his day. Through prayer, he felt a relationship growing between himself and his Maker, a relationship that would become even stronger by the commitment he was about to make. Tomorrow, he would be baptized into Jesus Christ. He would put on the covering for sin that his Saviour had provided. His sins would be wiped away. Even his prayers would change. Tomorrow, as a follower of Christ, he would pray in Jesus' name. It would be his privilege to do so. "It's so warm out tonight," a deep voice said, and Peter looked up to see Alan had followed him out. Alan seemed to be taller every time Peter looked at him. He was growing up, and his voice was changing. He was becoming a man. For a while, they talked generally about the day's events, and Alan filled Peter in on what had happened at school that week. Alan was confiding in Peter more and more about the difficulties he faced and talking through the decisions he needed to make. They'd become good friends. It was late when they came back into the house, and Peter was surprised to see that Craig was still sitting in the kitchen talking on the phone. However, there was a big smile on Craig's face, so Peter knew there was nothing to worry about. He waved goodnight and headed off to bed. Thomas Lovell gave the exhortation on the morning of Peter's baptism. Sitting up at the front of the chapel next to the Simons, Peter concentrated on the words as never before. This was his special day, his rebirth. Outside, the sun was shining bright and warm, streaming in through the windows on one side of the room. On the other side, the side where Peter sat, there was a good view of the lake. Soon, everyone would walk out there, and Peter would be baptized. He could hardly wait. They had read Luke 15 that morning, and Thomas had chosen to speak on the prodigal son. It seemed incredibly appropriate to Peter. He could relate well to the story. He had run away from God. He had grieved his father in heaven. He had misused his father's goods and lived a life that brought shame. And now today, he was confessing his sins to the Father, desiring mercy and forgiveness, wanting to serve rather than to be served. "And how did the Father respond to his erring son?" Thomas asked the audience. "Did he scold his son angrily, setting out a heavy punishment and demanding his money to be returned?" "No," Thomas concluded joyfully. "He was waiting for his son to return, longing to see his boy again. He couldn't wait to throw his arms around him and kiss his face. He wanted that boy back in his family. He was thrilled to see him come home. The son barely had time to make his apology before his father was dressing him in fine clothes and planning a great feast." There were tears in Peter's eyes, and Thomas choked up with emotion. "Peter, this is you on this wonderful morning," he said, looking directly at him. "For years you have had no idea how much your Father in heaven still loved you and hoped you would return. Now you have come to the only wise conclusion, that life in your Father's family is worth more than anything this world can offer. Here you are now, ready to confess that you've sinned against heaven and against your Father, and are no longer worthy to be called his son." Thomas paused. His smile wavered, and he could hardly speak for the next few words. "But today..." There was another pause while Thomas pulled himself together. "Today, you will be the son who was dead and is alive again." With great emotion, Thomas continued on. "You were lost, and now you're found. This is a day to celebrate, not only here on earth, but also in heaven. As we read in Luke 15, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." It was a very moving exhortation. Thomas gave it in such a heartfelt way with tears, smiles, and love. After changing into a t-shirt and shorts, Peter walked in front of all the others to the lake. He felt such awe that God was willing not only to allow him to come into his family, but that he would welcome such a sinner with open arms. How amazing that there could be such love for someone who had once said so many hurtful things against his heavenly Father in a proud, vengeful way. Yet the message of the parable was that God was willing to forgive anyone who turned to him in true repentance and humility. Peter and Craig walked out into the clear, icy cold lake. Craig asked first if Peter believed in the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, and when his answer was, "I certainly do," Craig lowered him back and submerged him in the water. Peter came up, dripping wet, clean, rather cold, and with all his past sins completely forgiven. He was now a new man, ready to begin a new life, denying himself, taking up his cross, and following the example of his Lord and Master. Out beside the lake, Peter was formally welcomed into the family of God, and then they all walked back to the chapel. There he partook of the bread and the wine for the first time, remembering the way his Lord had broken his body of flesh in service to others, and had completely poured out his life to save the world. The service closed with a hymn and a prayer. Peter was astonished that as soon as the service was over, everyone trooped up to the front to greet him as their new brother in Christ. Several people gave him books to read on biblical subjects, and Peter was sure he had never received so many hugs in such a short period of time. It helped him to realize that he was truly part of a new family. He had the fellowship and love of many others who were eagerly striving for the hope promised to the saints. There was wonderful joy in greeting Beth and Craig in such a way. "Welcome to the family," Craig said, as he embraced Peter warmly. "Now you're not only our adopted son," he chuckled, "you're also our brother in Christ." Beth gave him a hug. "Oh, Peter," she said, "this is such a happy day." "Well, thanks to both of you for all that you've done," Peter said sincerely. "If you hadn't taken me in and shown me what it means to love truth and live a life for God, I may never have come to this day." Thomas and Purity were next in line, and Cara Lovell was with them. Peter was amazed he hadn't noticed her before, but then again, he had been very focused on the commitment he was making to God. "Cara," he exclaimed, "thanks for coming all this way. It means so much to see you here." "I wouldn't have missed today for anything," Cara smiled lovingly as she gave him a hug. "I've prayed about it for years. I know Verity would have wanted me to." So someone else had been praying for him. Peter looked at Thomas and Purity, appreciating that they had probably been down on their knees as well. "You've been the best of friends," Peter said, as he embraced Thomas. "Thanks for never giving up on me, even when you didn't have much hope that I'd ever change." "I could never give up on you, Pete," Thomas assured him. "I care about you too much." There were quite a few others that welcomed Peter. Lots of people that he was slowly getting to know Sunday by Sunday. Even Derek was there, and he told Peter that he wanted to be the next one baptized. After the last person in the lineup had congratulated him on his decision, Peter suddenly noticed a tall young lady whom he was sure he hadn't seen standing there before. "Jessica," he cried out disbelievingly, "you're here. How did you get here? Did you just arrive?" All Peter's concerns over Jessica's decision dissolved with one look in her eyes. The very last hug was received with much greater fervency than any of the others. Laughing and holding onto his arms, Jessica answered, "My parents sent me a ticket, and I wanted to surprise you. So did Cara. We didn't want to distract you this morning from the commitment you were making, so we did our best to keep out of sight. But we watched the whole wonderful service." Peter wanted to know all the details. He found out that Thomas and Purity had been at the airport twice that weekend, picking up Cara on Friday morning and Jessica Saturday night. They'd both stayed overnight in their Lovell's tiny blue house. "And Peter," Jessica said quietly, I only got your letter on my way to the airport. We'll have to talk tonight. How long are you staying? Peter asked. I'm leaving tomorrow morning, she told him, but we'll have the rest of today. The rest of that beautiful day was very busy. They had a picnic lunch at the chapel with a special cake for Peter, and then a gospel proclamation in the afternoon at the town hall. Craig spoke about the evidence for creation and the fallacy of evolution. There were several visitors who were very interested, and a lively dialogue ensued afterwards. Peter didn't hesitate to get involved, and he was happy that Derek joined in as well. When they returned home to the Simons' house that night, they all sat down in the living room to talk to Jessica about her adventures. Under normal circumstances, Peter would have enjoyed being part of this family discussion, but tonight he was yearning for some time alone with Jess. She'd been very friendly all afternoon, and Peter was sure of her feelings for him. However, at that moment, Jessica was sitting across the room beside her mother, and she seemed so far away. Finally, Craig looked down at his watch and exclaimed to Beth, "Wow, it's 9:30 already. Honey, we've got work to do in the office, and Alan, don't you have a science project to finish?" Alan opened his mouth to disagree, but Craig gave him a look that quickly changed his mind. "Right, Dad," Alan said, as he rose reluctantly from the couch, "or maybe I have a math test to study for." Peter caught Craig's eye, and they shared a laugh. Craig stood up and helped Beth to her feet. He looked over at Jessica. "Give us a kiss goodnight before you go to bed," he said. "Okay, Dad," she smiled. Left alone in the living room, there was a sudden feeling of awkwardness. Then Peter patted the cushion beside him on the couch. "Why are you sitting way over there?" he asked with a grin. Jessica hadn't forgotten how to blush, but she didn't need to be asked twice to move. However, when she sat down on the couch, there was still a fair distance between them. Having waited all afternoon for this moment, Peter was anxious to get to the heart of the matter. "So you got my letter?" he said gently. "How are you feeling about everything?" Jessica hesitated, so Peter prompted further. "Do you feel that we're of one mind now, Jess?" "Peter," she began earnestly, "I have an apology to make." "No, you don't," he said quickly, but then he chided himself. If he wanted to hear what she had to say, then perhaps he needed to listen. "I do want to apologize," she replied. "I know my last letter hurt you." "How do you know that?" Peter asked. "My dad told me," she said sadly, looking at Peter beseechingly. "We had a big talk last week when he called to tell me he was sending the plane tickets." Jessica shook her head glumly. "In the past few weeks, all I've done is hurt the people I love. It was very hard to explain everything to Walter, and I guess I didn't explain things very well to you." "That's okay, Jess," Peter assured her. "I understand." "And then when I read your letter," Jessica continued, "I cried so much. It was like a beautiful window to your heart. I knew you had changed, but I hadn't realized how much. Or maybe I've just been blind all along to the person you truly are." Peter smiled as he reached over to take her hand. "No, Jess," he said. "You've had plenty of reasons to doubt in this last year, but God has changed me. His word has changed my heart." Jessica smiled warmly. "I'm so glad because I love you, Peter. You've always been very special to me." Putting his arm round her shoulders and pulling her close, Peter was thrilled to hear those words. "Always, Jess?" he questioned curiously. She nodded, leaning her head contentedly against his shoulder. "Yes, in one way or another," she laughed. "It's just that, initially, I thought we had nothing in common. Although," Jessica smiled warmly, "on that long trip back from Ontario to Nova Scotia, I began to hope that we did." Then her face clouded over. "But after meeting Rose," she sighed, "I never expected you to be interested in me." "Well, there's no one I'm more interested in," Peter said tenderly. "Don't you worry about Rose. She only opened my eyes to see that you're the girl I was looking for." There was a shared look of understanding between them, a look which acknowledged that the past had been forgotten and a new life stretched ahead. Peter was so glad he hadn't given up. The confidence and respect shining in Jessica's eyes was wonderful to see, if surprising. "So what eased your worries about me?" he asked curiously. "Your letter?" she smiled. "When I read that last letter, I knew that you loved the things you were writing about," she explained earnestly, "and I realized that you were right and I was wrong." "What?" Peter laughed. "How were you wrong?" Jessica sighed happily. Because I was taking my parents for granted, she confessed. I was hoping they'd help me out financially so I could keep on doing what I love to do. And Peter, she added, I wasn't even thinking about how much they need help right here in Stirling, or about your family either. You opened my eyes to all of that, and I'm awfully glad that you did. So that means you're planning to come back? Peter surmised hopefully. I sure am, she replied. And what? Peter prompted. Jessica's eyes were sparkling, but she also looked a little nervous. I hope you don't mind, she said slowly. But when I talked to my dad last night, he asked what I was planning to do next. So I told him about your suggestions, about the job you offered, and about us. So he knew your response before me? Peter exclaimed with mock dismay. Then he laughed and squeezed her shoulder. Of course I don't mind, he told her. But I am rather curious to know what your dad had to say. He's very, very happy. They both are. So he really doesn't mind that the prodigal son is in love with his beautiful daughter? The colour that flamed up in Jessica's face was very becoming. You don't have to say beautiful, she told him quietly. I know I'm not that. But you are, Peter assured her. And he wasn't exaggerating. What he'd come to know and love about Jess changed the whole way he'd once viewed her. She was a delight to his eyes. Jessica quickly changed the conversation back to the question that Peter had asked. Her eyes twinkled merrily. Would you like to know exactly what my dad said? She asked. Peter hesitated, but Jessica didn't wait for his reply. My dad said you're humble and open to God's word, and you have a desire to please your father in heaven. In my dad's estimation, you're one of the finest young men he's ever known. Such praise filled Peter's heart with great joy. He was relieved to know that Craig wasn't concerned with the past, but only with the response that he saw now. Having at last come to a complete understanding, the conversation between Peter and Jessica flowed smoothly for the next couple of hours. They laughed, they teased, they shared feelings, and they even talked about Walter and Rose. Once every misunderstanding had been cleared up and every perplexing question answered, they discussed plans for the summer. Jessica's 6 months were up at the end of July, and she hoped to return to Stirling at the beginning of August. She wanted to know what jobs Peter would have for her. At first, Peter tried hard to make her believe that she would have to drive a bulldozer and learn to operate a dump truck. When her eyes were sufficiently filled with alarm, he laughed, ruffled her hair, and explained that weeding and watering would be the extent of her work. Jessica's relief was evident. They'd had such a lovely time talking that Peter wished it could go on and on. But at 11:30, he said reluctantly, "We'd better not keep your parents waiting up for you any longer, Jess. Let's say good night." In the morning, when Peter came to the kitchen for breakfast, Craig was standing at the counter pouring himself a cup of coffee. He always took coffee with him on his way to work. Without turning around, Craig inquired casually, "I suppose I don't need to ask if you'd mind taking my daughter to the airport this morning." From where Craig stood, he could just see the slightest hint of a smile on the older man's face. Walking over to Craig, Peter clapped his hand on his shoulder. "No, you don't need to ask me to take Jess to the airport," he said. "But maybe I should be asking you. Thanks so much for bringing Jessica home for my baptism. That was such a wonderful surprise. And may I have the privilege of taking your daughter to the airport this morning?" Craig turned around with a laugh. His eyes sparkled with a warm, friendly glow. "You may," he said. And then with an affectionate slap on Peter's back, he added, "We love you, Pete," and headed out the door.